You are listening to the Massive Report podcast.
I looked up goal at dictionary.com, and it says here in part, the act of throwing, carrying, kicking, driving, etc., a ball or puck into such an area or object, such as a goal. The score made by this act. I needed to look it up because it's been so long that I had forgotten. Welcome to the Massport Podcast. We got lots of goals to talk about tonight, brought to you by Saucy Brew Works. It seems inappropriate that we're on Zoom tonight because we have so much to celebrate, and we could be enjoying some delicious Saucy Brew Works offerings, or in Ralph's case, I don't know, they'd probably find you a white claw somewhere back in the kitchen covered in dust. But we'll have to save that for next week. Like and subscribe to the Mass Report Podcast. This should be interesting because we have, by my count, we have like 18 people on the podcast tonight. Murph leaves the country and everyone's like, I want to be on. I would hope that's not a commentary on our friend Murph, please. Sam, you were pounding the phones or something today to round up the whole posse here to talk about the 3-0 win. Everybody wants to talk about victory, so let's get right to it. First, I want to get to know some people that are new to me anyway. Brian Moranch, did I pronounce that right?
Yeah, Moranch. I think that's
Moranch.
I'll take it though.
I knew I would do that. I mean, sorry, man.
The amount of variations I've heard in my life, that's nothing. So
Moranch, what is the derivation of that in terms of?
So I am Polish.
Okay.
And I was always told somewhere along the line it was Moraczkowski, and then it was shortened. So I was always told.
That's pretty common. Yeah, that happened a lot. So you're a Clevelander who went to Ohio State, became a Crew fan, and now are contributing to the Mass Report. What are you doing for the site?
Yeah, that is correct. So far, I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio State, Cleveland State Law School. Wow. So I am up to this
All
point.
All right, Cleveland Marshall.
Yes,
Cleveland Marshall. My dad's grad.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Yeah. A very exclusive club. The Ivy League on the lake, as a lot of people like to call it.
Yeah, of course.
And up to this point so far for Mass Report, I've been doing a lot of the MLS fantasy coverage, as well as a lot of the predicted 11s from week to week for the most part.
I like that. So do you have a fantasy team?
I do. And I don't, it is at the, in the bottom fourth, the bottom 25% of the league, I would say.
Will you invite me to join your league next year? Because I'm a huge fantasy baseball guy. I would like to do a fantasy MLS.
So actually, Brian, if at the bottom of every single one of our weekly roundups, there is a link that says you can join right now at any time because we announce a weekly winner every single week.
Awesome. I'm in.
Are you picking new lineups every week or do you have the same group?
So
some changes transfers.
Yeah, I usually have like a core of like four that I like to stick with.
Who are your crew players? Who's
crew players?
Staying in there, everyone?
So man, my crew players.
I hope the last few weeks you didn't have any.
No, I actually, admittedly, so I did not.
Well, that's why he's in the bottom quartile, Brian.
Yes, exactly. Good point. Miloš Dežnik though has been a nice little. On the defense, you're good for a good 6 or 7 points. It's about average. So he's been nice on the defense.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Well, welcome. Caleb DeNorm, who comes to us from Worthington Christian, as yet not graduated from high school. I like the pluck in you, kid. Already a part of Massive Report. At 17, I was too terrified to even call girls on the phone. And here you are covering the glorious Columbus Crew. How'd you get into it?
Well, I mean, I just read the website for the past few years and I loved reading your guys' stories. And then I was actually on vacation on a ski trip this winter and I saw that you guys needed help. And so I was like, well, I could apply. The worst they can say is no. They'll probably look and see that I'm 18 and need more experienced writers. But I submitted a piece and I think Pat got back to me and he said, listen, we'd love to have you. And I was pumped, so I'm really happy to be working with you guys.
Well, that's outstanding. And you want to go into sports media. You're going to Butler next fall. I don't know. Do they have a good program?
They do have a good program. They also have some good D1 sports teams. You probably know the basketball team mostly. Well, sure. Actually, they just signed Thad Matta to coach them. So a little Ohio State callback there.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But I'll be covering them, and yeah, I'll be heading over to Indianapolis come August 24th.
Is that why you're suddenly a Colts fan with the big helmet in the background there?
No, actually, I've been a Colts fan ever since I was little. I was brought up in a household where my dad was a Browns fan, and I'd see how depressed he was every Sunday. And I decided, you know, I'm not doing that. So I decided my neighbor was a Colts fan, so I got in with him. And every Sunday I watch games with him. So that's the way to go.
All right. Well, I like that. Okay. Well, welcome. And Ralph, I haven't seen you in a while. You okay?
I'm good. I mean, yeah, as good as I can be. If you look at the internet, apparently I'm murdering people. Or I'm...
Well, what'd you do now?
Yeah, that's why I came on this episode, honestly, Brian. I was kind of, you know, wishy-washy about it. And I saw Ralph was good, and he's been choosing violence online for the last week. That is like, I've got to see if he's going to back up his words here.
You got to think it sounds like I'm kicking puppies or something like
well,
that.
What'd you do? What'd you do? I did not see this.
So the it started with a post from Jason Davis of SiriusXM FC. I forget what his show is called off the top of my head, but he asked during the skid if Crew fans had turned on Caleb Porter.
Uh-huh.
And I had a quote that stuck in the craw of many a Crew fan. That my Twitter messages lit up like a Christmas tree for the next several days after
that.
What
did you say?
I said that I didn't believe that Crew fans had turned on Caleb Porter. And this is the quote that bit me, Mr. Brian, was that it was a small fringe of the fan base that doesn't understand the ebbs and flows of the game of soccer. And I have seen the quote ebbs and flows and fringe things. Man, and I,
you should know you're a grown adult. I mean, if Caleb had done this, you would have understood it was a rookie mistake.
Let me take a second because I want to address the elephant in the room, and not to say that I wasn't trying to assault the intelligence of Crew fans. You all are great people. I have great discussions with everybody at the start of the games and everything like that. I just feel like there's a certain section of the fan base that yells the loudest and gets noticed the most because they yell the loudest.
Yeah.
I think it's very easy to get mad when things aren't going your way. And that's understandable.
I know that. I've been in a rage for weeks about this team,
which
I mean, I'm one of those people, I guess.
Yeah.
I think it's very easy to get mad when things aren't going your way. And I understand that. And, you know, if I harmed some folks and made them feel angst towards Massive Report or anybody like that, that's fine. If you want to talk it out and have a beer at the pub, I'd be happy to sit back and talk with you. I know there's some folks out there that aren't exactly too keen on me, and I'm sorry. I tease in peace, but, hopefully in the next couple of weeks people can forgive and we can move on and celebrate a victory together. And let's talk about it. Enough of the past. Let's talk.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, I thought we had we were taking bets in the GCG bag group chat. We thought that maybe Smurf had paid you off because he had a pretty dumb tweet. And then you just came in there and just like dunked on that with an even dumber one. So we thought you were just like getting, you know, taking the attention off of him, your editor. That's, you know, that's what you do as a you know, staff writer. So good on you. Good on you, Ralph.
No, honestly, the person I owe the biggest amount of money to is Giassi Zardes for getting traded during that week and taking the heat off of me and Murph because he wanted
to. Oh yeah, Caleb you know, went and said even dumber shit.
Caleb bailed us out, but no, I mean, in all seriousness, it's no disrespect to anybody intended, and I know people are gonna go out there and think that, you know, Ralph's an asshole, and you know, pardon me, I'm sure we just lost the PG rating, but you know, everybody, I don't want people to think that I'm an asshole. I'm here with you. I'm here to celebrate. I understand things are the way that it is.
Nobody thinks that. Come on. Come on.
Oh, Brian. Next time I show you, let me show you my Twitter.
All right. Well, people are too sensitive these days. Maybe we should start something on Mass Report. You know, Fallon does the mean tweets. We should do the dumb tweets, as Bart put it. And we'll just assemble all of our dumb tweets. Believe me, it's only a matter of time until I get completely reduced to cinders for something I've said. I get emotional about this stuff, and I was emotional in a good way on Saturday night as the crew suddenly come to life and beat DC United 3-0. Caleb, what did you see that was different out there that maybe people missed?
Yeah, so there's a few things. Their structure, the way they set up in that 4-3-3, it's not a lot different from how they set up against Kansas City. I think the aim of the game was different. I feel like we went into that Kansas City game and it was basically just like, let's get a point. Let's, you know, right the ship, get a point, get back on positive results. They went into this game and they were a lot more direct than usual. One of the biggest things that I saw was after halftime, instead of sitting back in that 4-5-1 like they did against Kansas City, they decided to sit back in a 5-4-1, which means one of the wingers would drop in alongside the outside back. So we'd have kind of like three center backs and two wing backs to plug up that middle just to ensure that we didn't give up a goal. So a lot of that time, it looked like James Igbikeme coming in and taking the outside guy and man-marking him and freeing up, I believe it was Marlon Hairston who got subbed in, freed him up to just float and head out any balls that came in. That was a big one. The other big thing that's getting a lot of mention on the crew Twitterverse is it's Lucas playing the nine, which is a lot of what people want to see now, especially with Miguel Berry not really producing and scoring a lot of goals. Lucas came in, he had a positive impact. I think he played really well for, you know, being questionable and being injured. I think we might see that a little bit more. I don't think that Caleb Porter will come out in the beginning and list a starting lineup with him playing the nine spot. But I think it's something that definitely, you know, you can even sub in Aiden Morris to slide into midfield and then push Lucas El Rayan up. But another thing that I saw was Aiden Morris has been on fire these past few games. I mean, he just commits and he's got that youthful energy where he goes after every ball and dives into every tackle. And it's refreshing to see.
He brings an energy and a grit. It's kind of like every hockey team needs a guy like that, that will just stick his nose in there. People talk about Boston Bruins and Brian Marchand and how, of course, we hate him because he plays for the Boston Bruins, but if he plays for your team, you love him. Aiden Morris is that guy. And unquestionably, he brings a different energy, even if you can't quantify everything he does with statistics. But as they mentioned in the broadcast, his passing was on point the entire match. I saw him make one mistake, lose one ball. To me, he's essential to this team going forward. And it's great to see him back out there. We'll kind of circle back on him a little bit.
Quick, Brian, because you're making comparisons. And I think the best comparison already, Sam made it, Danny O'Rourke.
Danny O'Rourke. Now there's a name.
Explain, Sam.
Wow, I got called into action here. I wasn't expecting that.
Well, you got called your name out.
Okay. Well, thanks, Brian. He was so aggressive in that midfield and he kind of like, okay, so here's I'm going to say something that frustrated me on why this makes sense. I've watched every long ball going towards Miguel Berry get won by Steve Birnbaum, every single one of them. And I have the pictures to prove it. And that really, really frustrated the daylights out of me. A guy the size of Miguel Berry should not be getting pushed off the ball as easy as, or out jumped as easy as he was getting out jumped and out pushed on the ball this entire game. Aiden Morris, on the other hand, is like a little tank. And he reminded me a lot of how Danny played in 08 and a little bit of 09 when he wasn't injured, is that he's just running at people. And like, it's aggressive enough that you feel that he's going to get a yellow almost every time he runs at somebody, but it's also he's got some skill, and his passing is so much better. Not better. Like he's a good passer. So you're getting a lot of good. And it's kind of like weird because it's hard to keep him on the field when you have Nagby and Artur, but in that formation, those guys were pretty much almost kind of interchanging their three spots as at will. And that's something that a lot of teams don't have.
Well, I think it's incumbent on Caleb Porter to figure out how to keep him on the field one way or the other. Ralph, we need to keep Lucas Zelarayao on the field. But at the same time, I was pleased that we didn't really need him the other night because that knee is not 100%. But it was good. He looked fit to me while he was out there.
Yeah, if anybody's ever had an IT band injury, I've had a couple in my day, and it's not something comfortable that you can deal with fairly easily.
What is the IT band?
So the IT band's in the front of the kneecap, actually. So it's I don't know how to describe it the best way, but it's in front of the kneecap, and anytime you have exertion on it, it's kind of like almost where I believe it's where your kneecap, like the sorry, great radio. Everybody here can see me thinking, but I believe it's where the pivot point is in your knee. So it can get real tender. It can kind of swell up. For an athlete, obviously, who has a lot of mileage on their legs, not a great thing. But going back to Lucas at the nine, I was out at a establishment. I won't say it since we're sponsored by a different one. I was out in an establishment on Monday night, and somebody said, they kicked it to me. They said, what about Lucas at the nine? Play false nine, put Lucas at the nine, keep Igbekeme up there and keep Etienne up there. I said, no, that's dumb. You don't want him. You don't want him there. You want him for his playmaking ability. He's not a nine. Even in a false nine capacity, but son of a gun, man, he proved me wrong on Saturday. And I mean, he looks good there. And I think a guy that doesn't get enough praise, especially, I know everybody gets lost in the flash and the fastness of Yaya Boa and Luis Diaz, but their crossing ability is just leaves a lot to be desired. I think a guy who has really answered the call and has made Caleb Porter very happy, and I'm sure the coaching staff, is James Igbekeme, which that young man has shown he's very versatile, can play in the center of the midfield. I really liked him on the wing, and it seemed like the attention that he was getting paid to him was helping free up Etienne to make attacking runs down the left side of the field, which I think benefits both of those guys greatly. But I also think if you get that attacking piece in there, like a Lucas Zelarayán, Miguel Berry's great in spots, but I've already said, I think the experiment's over. I think there needs to be somebody a little bit more dynamic in that position. But I think James Igbekeme is your guy at the wing tentatively until everybody finds an answer for him. But that guy was equally dynamic. And I think there are some really good pieces there up in that front three.
Brian, you should know that Bart and I have an unabiding love with Josh Williams, which borders on uncomfortable. So just to preface that, we're huge fans, and it was great to see him get an assist the other night. I think he makes a big difference. I know you mentioned your fantasy team, but I prefer Josh on the pitch than Milos at this point.
Yeah, I am conflicted with that because I do think that Milos is a very good, is slowly becoming a average to above average MLS center back as he gets more comfortable. But there was a certain element of with Josh Williams in the game, Jonathan Mensah, I thought, looked much more comfortable.
Absolutely.
They mentioned it on the broadcast. Just they have this unspoken language between the two of them, which is so important for a center back pairing. But that, you know, the only Josh Williams is an older player. Milos Dejnik was brought in for $1 million, plus dollars. The only way Mensah and Dejnik are able to, you know, grow that same sort of partnership and unspoken language between the two of them is if Milos is on the pitch. That doesn't happen if he, you know, spot starts or, you know, doesn't play at all. So I do love the energy that Josh Williams brings. but I am hesitant to say that he's the number one option at center back next to Mensah, because I do think Dejanek is very promising and he's going to be the option long term.
But what if he's Josh Williams? We call a goal for him every week. What if this week's the week? Then we all have to change our team.
I'll just settle for him dropping dimes like he did there.
Yeah.
For
the,
I mean, that was absolutely phenomenal. And and Josh, and he didn't, he had a couple kind of rough minutes early on too defensively, but seemed to get things in order. And I mean, I think it's hard to you know, displace him when he's producing like that. But I agree with you there, Brian. I don't think Josh Williams is not as much as I love him, is not the future of this team. I think, you know, to the extent, I think he's got a solid floor. I think Dejanek has the higher ceiling, although again, not when Josh seems to play best when there's a challenge, because there, we've been getting center backs that are supposed to replace him for the past, you know, three seasons, and no one manages to really lock it down.
Can I tamp the expectations down just a little bit? Can I be the party pooper?
Well, yeah, I think you've already taken that role on to the other day. So you might as well just keep going.
So I remember back a couple of seasons ago where this guy named Jonathan Mensah came in and had kind of a rough kind of upbringing into MLS, definitely a difficult comeuppance, if you will. I think that's kind of something that we're seeing similar styles with Miloš Dejanek. Is he's a very physical, good defender, quick. I notice he's kind of quick on his feet. He's got that good lateral quickness. Is he having some growing pains right now? Absolutely. Do I think they're going to be long-term? Probably not. He's not going to be like an Emmanuel Pogatetz or Josh Williams, or not Josh Williams. Sorry, I had somebody waving at me through the office. I got distracted there. But like an Emmanuel Pogatetz or Vito Wormhoor, which everybody thought Vito was going to come in and be an absolute bruiser last season and just kind of flamed out. But, you know, I think let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak, quite yet.
I'm not Miloš. I'd rather have three guys than two. So
I think Miloš is quite good. And I think, like Bart said, he is going to be the one for the future. And I know that's going to rub some folks the wrong way, but
I think
that's where your future is right now. Josh is the present. And I think your future is with Miloš.
Yeah. Well, it was a beautiful ball.
If I could just add one more thing, it's a weird thing where I think I believe that Miloš should be the starter, you know, the penciled in starter every single week. But if we had an MLS Cup final tomorrow, I want Josh Williams at center back. So it's this weird you know, game I'm playing in my head.
Yeah. I kind of hear what you're saying. And that's the conflict there, because I don't have anything necessarily against Miloš. I understand that it takes a while to, you know, all these leagues are so different. And I think the one thing I keep hearing over and over with new players is they're taken aback by how physical MLS is. And if that's one takeaway, they go, they have to get used to that. Caleb, another thing that was interesting to me, and I've been frustrated with our corner kicks for a long time. We scored it on a corner kick. The ball leaked out, and Darlington Nagy with a corker into the back of the net. He wasn't accounted for, but also, Pedro with a left-footed blast and a free kick. It was nice to see that there are other guys that we can rely on when Lucas isn't in there, when the ball isn't moving.
Yeah, so you think about the three goals that we scored. All of them are pretty much on or related to set pieces. You have Pedro banging in that free kick, going to the goalie's left when he took that step, you know, trying to predict where he's going. That's always playing with fire when a goalie does that. Then you have, you know, Josh Williams, little dink over the top to Etienne on that quick free kick that he took. And then that absolute goal of the year candidate by Darlington Nagby, because that's all he scores, I guess, that and toe pokes against New York. But, you know, you think about it, it is nice to have other contributors. And for the longest time when I was growing up watching Crew Soccer, it was, you know, Pedro Santos on the wing and, you know, working with Higuain and working with those guys. But now you move him back to left back. He still brings that attacking presence up the pitch when he gets up. And it is nice to see that, you know, maybe we get a situation where you put him over the ball and Lucas, and you surprise the keeper by having him take it instead of Lucas one of these times. But that free kick, I mean, it was a beautiful thing to watch because I was in section 206. So I was behind the goal where they scored that. And I started watching the DC keeper, Kempin, kind of hop to his right. And I was a goalie all my life through elementary, middle school, high school. So I know a little bit what's going on, not at an MLS level, but all I was ever told was, if you cheat too far, you're going to get burned because they're going to hit that back post ball once and you're going to have no chance at it. And that's exactly what he did. He put it on frame. He said, you know what? I'll hit it hard. I'll make the keeper have to make a save. And, you know, went in. But it is nice to have another contributor along with Lucas. And I think another guy who falls into that category is Derek Etienne. He's been producing regularly for the Crew, even in last season, going into this season. Just, you can always count on him to have a solid game. He's never really had a terrible game where he's like, man, you know, I lost just the game. It's always pretty solid from him.
Bart, kind of taking off from Pedro's free kick goal, we have an opportunity later in the game for the same. And Miguel Berry, just as on the goal, is standing next to him. And he lets Miguel Berry take the kick, which is like, why would you do that? I mean, that's being too nice.
I think you're trying to do anything to get Miguel Berry going because, you know, obviously is great as it is to see this team score three goals or just score more than one goal, I think, for the first time since, I don't know, what, three weeks into the season. Certainly the first time, first goal scored in the month of April in league play. But you still didn't get anything out of Berry and out of that strike position. And I think that's that. I think that is emblematic of Pedro as a veteran player who knows that they just traded away Jossie Zard as a guy who, for his flaws, has averaged 13 goals a season for the last 4 years when he hadn't scored a single goal in league play for the last month. And you've got two goals from strikers all season, I think. So I think that's Pedro Santos saying, look, we need to do anything. Strikers, they thrive a lot on having confidence in themselves, a little bit of swagger, and him thinking, look, if we can do something to get Miguel Berry hot, to get him confident again, to get him on the score sheet, that can pay big dividends for this team over the course of the season because they need him until they have someone lined up. And I think there's a good criticism to be made that they should have had someone lined up before trading Jossie Zard. You need Miguel Berry to score goals. I like the idea of, you know, fun experimenting with Lucas Ellerion in a false nine, especially when you've got three strong midfielders like you do right now in Aiden Morris and Artur and Darlington Nagbe. But I think ultimately you really need a striker in there, if that's Miguel Berry or someone else. Right now, Miguel Berry is all you got. So try to get him going.
Yeah. Well, I think he needs to score a goal on the run of play before we start handing him free kicks. That's just my opinion.
That's fair.
He's a nice kid, I'm sure. And we enjoyed his success last year. But at this point in time, this is not a role that he's ready for. And now he's got to do it for 90 minutes or close to 90 minutes. We had 90 against Kansas City. We had a full workload practically on Saturday night. You know, he's only 24, but he's going to wear out. Anybody out there in the world, we need to grab someone just to have another body, if nothing else. Brian, is there anything in the wind that I'm missing here? Is there a player out there that you've heard about that we can snag? Strikers are so hard to find.
I have not. I mean, there was that rumor flying around, you know, supposedly, you know, Crew brass were down. I think it was Argentina. It's for a striker from Independiente or Estudiantes in Argentina. He's played, I don't remember the exact stats off the top of my head, but I think, you know, I shared it earlier. I think it's, you know, 5 goals, 5 assists, maybe in 15 mm-hmm. games or something like that. That's more than one, which is what Miguel Berry has scored this year. And I argue you know, I argue that he was very generously given that goal in the first game of the season. If, I don't know if you remember, it took a very, odd ricochet. But, you know, the striker needs to come in. Ralph said something earlier. It was nothing too salacious. He said that Miguel Berry has been great in spots. And I think that is very generous because I honestly, this season, I cannot remember really anything stellar or standout that he has done, so far this season.
Yeah, it's been a lot of running with his head down. Now, perhaps, Brian, coming off the result, we're excited about it, but maybe you could give us a little bit of perspective. You're up in Cleveland, so you sort of have the 1,000-yard view of what's going on. You can take a more clinical look at it than we can right here in Columbus. Do we need to slow our roll a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. You know, I do not like raining on anybody's parade, although, you know, like you mentioned, being a Cleveland sports fan, I thrive.
Easy.
Yeah.
I thrive in sadness. You know, I traffic in sadness being a Cleveland sports fan. So this is, you know, it's kind of my sweet spot. You know, I grew up listening to people talk about sad topics, but my downer take after this game is we scored three goals. The Crew scored three goals that were a little, none of them were really from, you know, the run of play, normal build up, run through your offense. You know, there was one, you know, it was a Pedro Santos free kick, an absolute beauty from Dalyinton Nagbe, and then a long, you know, over the top pass to Derek Etienne. And I just don't know if those three types of goals are easy to replicate.
Those are more home runs. And it is interesting that you bring that up because during the telecast, I don't know if you mentioned this, but they were talking about expected goals, which is this stat that we talk about now. And the Crew at these games where we weren't scoring, the expected goals were actually kind of high. And they were noting that in this particular match, the expected goals were actually really low. Sure. It's just mind-blowing. And it just tells you this game, the beautiful game, turns on so many little moments one way or the other. I mean, look at DC United. They walk off the field having clanked off the iron twice during that match. You know, it could have very easily turned out massively different. So, yes, we do need to temper our enthusiasm. But, Caleb, I mean, this league is so weird, and I think this is the case in point, the parity that they were looking for. I looked at the table before the match. I'm going, oh, my God, Cincinnati is going to jump over us. They won their match, I think, this weekend. They're going to jump over us, and they did temporarily. And then we win, and we move up to fifth. It's anybody's game at this point.
Yeah, you know, God forbid Cincinnati ever jump over us. That should not happen for at least a long time. I'll push back a little bit on that Miguel Berry point. I can remember one thing that I was really impressed about him, and it was the first game of the season. I think it was that 4-0 win that we had against, I think it was Montreal was our first game. Or Vancouver, one of the two.
Vancouver.
There we go. Thank you. But I remember I was so impressed with his ability to get the ball into his feet and find a pass so quick. And they were always, you know, laser guided, right on point. That's the one thing where I was really impressed. And then after that, it was like he went missing. He never really did anything after that. He had that stretch where he didn't really have, touches inside the box. We didn't have a shot. So after that first game, it was kind of like, man, he came out of the gate so hyped up to play, and he was knocking passes all over the park and finding players. But then after that, it's just like, you know, he's a ghost on the field. I don't even remember any defining moments from the game this past weekend, except that he won, I think it was one header that he won.
Yeah. And that was a rough matchup. I mean, And that clearly DC United was like, look, we're going to knock this kid around. And that's exactly what they did, you know? And I don't know. He can very easily be knocked off his game. We talk about being Vancouver. The perspective of that now is that Vancouver is the worst team in the league. They're in last place in the West, and they have a minus 11 goal differential. That was a truly bad team that we're playing, and the team that we beat the other night has now fallen into dead last in the East. So much work to be done. And we're going to talk about in a moment the upcoming match with New England, who seem to be stirring to life. They're getting some key players back. We'll talk about that in a moment. Murph normally covers injuries for us. Brian, do you have any perspective on, I'll tell you what, my heart sank when Steven Moran could not continue the other night. He's been such a great force with this team. We saw him come along last year. We talk about Milos and where we think he will be. This is where we thought Steven would be. And he's become such an important player for this club. And he goes off with an injury. Do we have any idea how serious?
So I do not know how serious. I haven't seen any reporting on it. I'm sure we'll learn more as the week goes on.
Right. I mean, it's only Monday, so.
Yeah, but that is one position. I mean, I would say both of our fullbacks, both Santos and Marrero, where we don't want to lose either of them for any sort of extended period of time, almost more than any other position on the field, because I don't feel comfortable, you know, really with any of our other options at those positions. You know, Marlon Harrison has been sliding in at right back, it seems, when Marrero is out. He is, you know, better suited as a midfielder, I believe. He is trying his best at right back. You know, he played right back against Detroit City and he got cooked on one of the goals. I hated seeing Marrero hurt as well, just because I don't know what we would do if he was out for any sort of extended period of time.
And it's one of those things where it appeared to be a soft tissue injury. At first, I thought it was a groin, but then I was said that what they were looking at, I think, was the good old hamstring. We all know those darn things. It could be, you know, a week. It could be 3 months, depending on the severity. He did, the one thing was that he tried to give it a go, which you see often. And we'll get the injury report to Ralph's point on the chat here tomorrow or Wednesday, and we'll know a lot more at that point. But it is concerning because I think we're going to need him. So obviously the other question will be Lucas's knee. He looked good. We'll see where he is. Can he start against New England? We are in Foxborough, 7:30 Saturday night. And shockingly, the Revs have been pretty bad to start the season. But when you dig into it, you realize that they've been missing key players for them, including their goalie. Only the number one national team goalie right now, Matt Turner, as much as it pains me to say that. Matt Turner just returning to action from an injury this past weekend against Miami. He gets a clean sheet. They get Henry Kessler back from injury as well. He's, as Bruce Arena says, he's their most important defender. So they had those two pieces in place. They switched up their formation to a 4-4-2 diamond. Caleb, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm thinking that New England is going to come up with a similar game plan against us because we have trouble against such formations.
Right, yeah, we don't match up well against those formations, really. But, you know, the thing that I've kept on, you know, seeing from the crew is even in the switch in formation from, we went from 4-2-3-1, which we start out at the beginning of the season, of the 4-3-3, we're still maintaining Porter's system of, you know what, we want to get in, we want to create these positional overloads, we want to combine, and then we want to get through. The only nuance is they're playing a little bit more direct. I haven't seen a lot of, you know, the passing around the back side to side and playing with that pivot player, having either Darlington Nagbe or Artur drop in as the pivot between the two center backs. So, you know, I think it'll be a good game. The matchup doesn't look that favorable, but, you know, it's MLS. Anybody can win. This isn't the Premier League where, you know, Man City's going to win every game or Liverpool's going to win every game. You know, it's MLS. We have a new champion pretty much every season. So it's pretty much open.
Bart, I'm concerned because we were talking about injuries. We got to go on the fake grass, and I think we're going to need Marlin on Saturday. I'm not optimistic that Morea is going to be brought back to play on artificial turf.
No. I think you don't, I wouldn't, if I'm, you know, Caleb Porter, and unless the training staff, which we know that, you know, I don't know, it's something about these Haslam training staffs. Whether it's the Browns or whether it's the crew, it seemed like they sometimes rush guys back a little bit or don't have it. So I would not be rushing Steven Marrera right now. I think you can do a lot worse than Marlon Harrison. Remember, crew brought him in last year as a guy to back up and potentially as a successor for Harrison Offal. I mean, he did have some really good seasons in Colorado before going over, I think, to Minnesota. He is a jack of all trades, and I think somebody, you know, a lot in that kind of Hector Jimenez role. And I don't know that he's necessarily the guy that you want, but we are just seeing him finally playing in right back, because last year you brought him in as a right back and suddenly he had all the injuries at wingers, had injuries at midfield, and he ended up getting thrust, and he's playing, you know, midfield, he's playing attacking midfield, he's playing wing, didn't ever get any chance to really play at right back where you brought him. So I think I'm a little bit more optimistic about him. Certainly I am than if Pedro went down and you had to go with Sands. But I think that's going to be really important going to New England. It's always hard. And they are, I mean, this is a team that's built to win now, even with the injuries. And, you've had, I think Bowles only played a handful of games.
A chance he's back on Saturday, but from what I'm reading, it's not likely.
Can I add to that? Actually, I just got off the phone with a source here. I'm doing a little Adam Schefter. Conversing with somebody as we're talking here. It sounds like, from my understanding, is that it's going to be very precautionary with him. Which, to your point, Ryan, makes perfect sense, especially on the turf. Said he was in the training session in good spirits. Today was officially an off day for the team, but he was at the facility in pretty good spirits on Sunday. So, but no elaboration on the condition. But from what I understand, based on this person, it sounds like it's going to be purely precautionary. So I wouldn't, there's a chance he could play. Maybe it's a 15-20 minute thing, but I wouldn't expect to see him this weekend.
Yeah. And that's probably wise, because that artificial turf is, even the modern turf is just, it's pretty nasty for players with any sort of an injury issue. And to that point, Ralph, do we also hold Lucas out of the starting 11 for the same reason?
I don't know. I think that's going to be more of something we're going to kind of have to play wait and see. Essentially with him, especially if he felt good enough to run 15 or 20 minutes and be effective this past week, I don't see why he wouldn't play this week if we increase that maybe a half hour. So that's one thing I like about this new substitution rule with putting five players on in three intermittent periods. I think this is really cool. I know there are some traditionalists out there that aren't really big fans of it and think that you have to keep it at three, but I think this is good to cycle players in and kind of get them back and eliminate any chance of doing significant injury to them. But I think you do see him, but in limited action again.
Yeah, I don't think, to your point, I don't think the three subs, correct me if I'm wrong, anyone, I don't think the three subs are ever coming back. I think it's going to be five going forward.
Yeah.
Part of that is because, and I know there are special rules for head injuries, but just in general, just more concern for the health of the players. You know, you have leagues all over the world. They're paying these players ungodly amounts of money. And I think now that everybody has lived with it for a couple of years, they're going to go, you know what? You know, I'm paying my roster hundreds of millions of dollars. These are assets that we can't afford to lose. They are investments. That's the way that the ownership looks at it. And five, if they can manage players' minutes, and we have, I mean, the load on teams in Europe where they're playing in all these other competitions, I think it makes sense. And I'm willing to give on that. I tend to be a bit of a traditionalist when it comes to sports, but now that we've seen it, I kind of get it. And I wonder how some of these guys do it, where it's like, you got your league season, you got the Champions League, you got the FA Cup, you got all this stuff that you got to do. And there are only so many bodies to do it with. So I'm willing to give on that. I haven't really noticed. I don't really think about it anymore, to be honest with you.
Brian, tell me, how do you feel about the pitch clock in baseball? Or is that a different podcast?
I like it. You know, I go to Clippers games. It doesn't bother me.
Did you see the guy in college, or it was, I think, a double A game, struck out without having the third pitch get delivered to him because he took too long stepping outside of the batter's box to give him a strike.
See, that'll learn you. No, keep the game moving. That's what I say.
Yeah, I digress. Back to soccer.
That's all right. Just a couple other notes. You know, New England seemed to be heavily reliant, and because of injuries, the scoring really has come from two guys, Anna Busca and Carlos Yield. Nice players for New England. Those are the guys we're going to have to account for, Caleb, right?
Yeah, I mean, Carlos Heel, he was MVP last year. So, yeah. I mean, he's just a guy that you're going to have to figure out how to mark. So I don't know if we want to go with a man mark. I don't think he's that dangerous where we have to go that far. But I think our midfield can handle it. If you line up with the same three that we did this past week, I think – it'll be fun to watch him against Aiden Morris, man. I'm awaiting that matchup because, you know, Aiden's a workhorse and Carlos Hill's, you know, he has the techers, you know, he'll put it through your legs and he'll find passes and make good runs. So I think he's your main guy to look out for. I know you said Buxa, he's always dangerous, tall guy, you know, can get his head on the ball, but again, we have Jonathan Mensah to deal with that. I think Jonathan Mensah's the alpha of all alphas on the back line. He's not afraid to jump over you, you know, put an elbow into your neck to get the ball. He's super physical. So I think from that standpoint, we're set up pretty good. And I think the other thing the Crew have going for him is after a losing stretch like that, after you get a big win, you know, that boosts confidence through the roof and you're going into the next game saying, you know, instead of going back to losing or tying again, let's keep this streak going. Instead of a losing streak, let's put together a winning streak.
Bart, we also have to account for the one Josie Altidore.
I forgot, you know, a bit until I was looking ahead that's where he had ended up. And
makes sense, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Trying to get the band back together. You know, I'm waiting for him to go trade for Michael Bradley, although it'll be hard to get him, you know, prime away from daddy. But and seeing that, and they can just, you know, get, you know, go ahead and that'll guarantee that they miss the playoffs and just underachieve the rest of the season. But it'll be interesting, you know, to see Josie. He does, you know, for whatever reason, always seem to step his game up against the Crew. You know, I think I wish this were in Columbus so, you know, could boo him in person, but I'll have to settle for booing him from, you know, several hundred miles away. But you know, good for Joe, you know, Josie, he's still in the league, he's got that going for him, he's still getting paid to play soccer, so, you know, good for him.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I'd forgotten about him being with New England. I was doing a little research and that guy. He's not as old as we think, is he?
No, he's just played for it. And you know, he came up as like, what? He was getting starts for Red Bulls as a, you know, 16, 17 year old. So he's got a lot of mileage on him and, you know, he'll go down as one of the better U.S. strikers, but he's a shell. He's a shell of his former self, and his former self was pretty overrated.
Yeah. He's one of those athletes that I sit back and I look at it and I go, "Dang, that dude's old." And I look at his age and I go, "Oh, dang, he's as old as I am."
And then I realize
I'm like, "Am I near death? Am I dying?" But
stop.
I digress, but yeah, he's one of those guys like Bart said. I mean, he was starting as soon as he was out of the high school prom, basically, yeah. And he's been around for a hot minute. So he's fun when he can score, but he's a bum. No, he doesn't do anything nearly like he used to. But when he does score, he makes darn sure that you know he scored.
All right, Caleb and Brian, to wrap things up, go around the room and make our picks. We always save Bart for last because his pick is always the most interesting. Brian Marach, I know that you were seemingly surprised that Lucas played in the game at all the other night. Do you see him having a role in this one, and does it affect your choice in a score here?
So yes, I was very surprised because I believe when we came on, we were up 2-0. And if, you know, at that point, in my opinion, any goal DC United would have scored would have been against run of play. Like, we were controlling the game at that point. And I didn't feel it's necessary unless, you know, it was just kind of a test. See how the knee will do for about 15 minutes. I would play him against New England. If he was healthy enough to play 15 against DC, then I would assume he is, you know, assuming everything went well, there was nothing, no flare-ups after the game, that he's healthy enough to go against New England. I then think, you know, Caleb touched on it. He would love Aiden Morris in the game to, you know, match up against Carlos Hill.
Yeah.
This is the game to do the three midfielders. You know, you have Nagby, Artur, and Aiden Morris, and you try out the false nine with Lucas Zelarayán. Just try it out. This is a game where if you want to get a result and, you know, God forbid, a win on the road, you need all four of those guys on the field at the exact same time.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think to your point, to keep Aiden Morris on the pitch, we need to be creative and figure the rest of it out later. All right, your pick, Brian.
So my pick, I am going to opt for a 1-1 draw. You know, the ever-exciting draw, and I believe that Lucas is the decision-maker, and he scores from a free kick.
All right. Well, you can't go wrong picking a free kick. So you got Lucas on your fantasy team this week then?
I will. Yeah, if he's healthy, he's always in the lineup.
All right, fair enough. Caleb, how do you see it?
You know, I was going to predict a 1-1 draw too, but now I got to change my
pick. Well, you can't. You can make the exact same pick if you want. No pressure. Well,
you know, I'll be a little bit different. I think the defense has looked a lot better the past few weeks. I think, like you said, there's only two real attacking threats for New England other than that guy on the bench, Josie Altidore, but we'll see if he even, you know, sniffs the pitch. But I see it ended up 1-0. I think another thing that we were talking about Josh Williams earlier, another thing that he brings is he's a field general, man. He's been there a long time. He instructs the defense and he tells them where to go. But, you know, we look at, I think Brian just dropped a stat. Books has scored in the past three games. I think that ends coming up this week. I think we'll stifle him. I think it ends up 1-0. My safe pick always for scoring has been Derek Etienne, and he, you know, hasn't done me wrong, but I'm going to go with the Lucas goal because, you know, you can't go wrong with that either. So I'm going to say 1-0 crew win. Lucas scores. I don't know if it's a free kick, penalty, however he does it. I don't care. Just put it in the back of the net.
Young man, you could go broke picking crew wins on the road. I appreciate the confidence. I don't know if I have that. I'm still kind of rolling around in my head. Ralph, how do you see it?
I'm all in on, like, Caleb, you know, being in high school, like he said. I mean, I respected women so much at that age, I avoided them completely, but he's out here just engaging with a ravenous fan base and stuff. So no, good insight there, youngster. You're going to do some good things, my man. But yeah, a lot of good stuff to chew on. And I think of going with that 4-3-3 excites me. I know Thomas isn't here right now because congratulations to Thomas getting his degree from Penn State, officially recognized class of 2020 this week.
That's awesome.
So I'm sure he's still coming down from that. But the 4-3-3 excites me. I think a lot of Liverpool with Jordan Henderson, back the old school Jordan Henderson, Ginny Wijnaldum, and Fabinho, and maybe Crew might be on to something, the MLS version of that with Morris, Artur, and Nagby. Great distributors, great defenders. If we could get offense like Firmino, Salah, and Mane, I mean, oh, goodness, getting a little hot under the collar thinking about that. But anywho,
time for a white claw, Ralph.
Let's get back to PG here. A lot of good stuff. I think it's the hot hand, and I think when you're hot, you're hot, and when you're not, you're not. And I think with the confidence, you got to beat bad teams. When you're presented the opportunity, you've got to beat bad teams. And DC is bad. New England's not good either. But 2-1, and I say that with a grimace. 2-1 Crew.
2-1 Crew, really? Wow.
Question mark.
Caleb, we're so confident. I don't know. I've been beaten down, I suppose. Sam, make your pick.
I mean, Ralph kind of stole mine because I was also going to go 2-1 Crew. I think I was a little worried that they would drop the ball against DC. And technically,
DC's dead last.
Right. It should have been 4-0 because Etienne had no business missing that ball in the first half and missing it wide. So I'm going to go – I'm also going to go 2-1. I think, yes, I'm picking a Crew win on the road on turf, but I don't know. I think that this kind of broke the seal of scoring, and I always hope that Darlington Nagby takes more shots because, by golly, every time he whips one of those, it is usually in the back of the net. So
all right.
That's all I'm going to say.
All right, before Bart, I'm going to make my pick. I disagree with you guys. I don't feel good about this at all. Matt Turner is back between the pipes, and he will be until he goes to Arsenal. So apparently they think pretty highly of him. And the English Premier League, Kessler is back, the most important defensive player, as Bruce Arena put it. I don't see a scoring at all. I think we go back in the tank. I think we lose 1-0. Bart?
Quick, just before that, I think Brian, you had something in response to Ralph.
Yeah. So, and it actually kind of works off of what, Brian Phillips just said. Ralph said that the, Revs are not a very good team. I don't agree with that. They haven't been good up to this point, but they right now, as it stands, are the best they have been so far this season. They have Matt Turner back. They have Adam Buxa on a heater. They have Carlos Heel. They have Sebastian Lillejet. They're a very good team.
Yeah. And
no disrespect to Earl Edwards Jr. or Brad Knighton, but they are not Matt Turner. Matt Turner is Matt Turner. So
Those guys gave up 15 goals while Matt was gone. And that's all you need to know. I think this is a way better team. Yes. They won the Supporters Shield last year. Supporters Shield winners usually don't win the cup for whatever reason. I have tremendous respect for them. That's why I don't think we're going to win. We're on the road. We've got some guys that are nicked up. We've had trouble scoring. I don't see this turning out very well. Maybe you will, though, Bart.
Yeah, I think this is a New England team that is really good. That's, starting to play their best soccer of the year. As I said it earlier, I think they are built to win. As far as I know, the only team to win Supporters Shield and MLS Cup is the 2008 Columbus Crew. And don't anyone try to correct me otherwise. That's the only team to ever do it. But I think this is a really tough challenge. And so I think they're probably going to hold Crew just to 2 goals. We're going to go with a 2-0 win. I do like the idea of that. I think Caleb does, maybe experiment with Lucas in that false nine. And I think Lucas, gets a goal to put Crew in front. And then when it's closing time, Caleb obviously wants to lock stuff down, but you also want to, you're wary about, Lucas, coming out there playing, on that turf. So pulls him early. You bring in, Josh Williams, obviously for Milos, and then you bring in Miguel Berry, and Josh drops another dime right on the foot of Miguel Berry. Miguel whiffs on it, but because it is turf, it takes some weird bounce like off his face or his, and then his knee bounces back off his face again and into the net, and Crew get the 2-0 win.
Miguel Berry with the classic pinball finish.
Yep.
I like it. I like it. Well, you know what? I'm taking the heat off of you, Ralph. I'm the big double bummer tonight, and I'll take it. I'm standing by it. But the formation changes, working these three guys into the lineup at the same time, even if I'm right and we lose, if we go that direction, I think that this can be a way forward, at least until we find that magical striker that's out there somewhere in the world that we don't even know about. We got to do something, because up top, what we're doing ain't working, and we have very few alternatives. All right, guys, that wraps it up. Thank you, Caleb DeNorn. Thank you, Brian Moretch, for joining us. Please do come again from wherever you are. Caleb, when's your graduation?
Oh, man, I'd have to look at the calendar. I think it's
what?
Like the
you don't 20... even know what day you're graduating?
Well, I can tell you. I know what day I get out of school. I was actually going to ask one of you to take my tactical review this week, because I've got prom on Saturday, so I can't watch the game. So somebody's going to have to pinch hit there for me.
All right. Now, is this your girlfriend or is this just a date?
No. Just friends.
All right. She'll understand. You bring your phone. You keep an eye on the match. You know, back in my day, there was no way to go to the prom and watch sports at the same time. I would have been way more excited to go to the prom if I could figure that out. But you're doing it the right way, young man. No drama. You're just pals. That's good. You kids have figured it all out. We were so dumb back when I was your age. We didn't know any of this stuff. We didn't know that you could just go to a dance with your friend. It had to be a whole thing. Where are you going to eat? Where are you taking her?
Oh, I think we're just meeting beforehand. We get fed at the place, so I think it's going to be some kind of cheap steak or cheap chicken, you know, something like that.
I love it. It's so much easier. You guys have figured it out. You've diffused the bomb that is the prom. Good for you. All right. Well, congratulations, young man. And we'll talk to you again, of course, on the Mass Report podcast in a few months. You'll be joining us from your dorm room, Butler. Oh, heady days for you, my friend. All right, Brian, thank you for being here as well. Both of you come back anytime. Of course, Ralph, it's great to see you. It's been a long time. I only see you on Twitter.
Yeah. It's, you know, we'll have to have a beer here soon or something.
All right. Oh, White Claw. That's what you are. You still in the White Claw? Yeah.
I don't
what's your favorite? What's your favorite flavor?
Oh, God, Ruby Grapefruit, man. That's where it's at. But
it is that is a worse take than anything you put on Twitter. In the last
now,
week.
Come on, I like the Ruby Grapefruit. Man. I did no. it.
It's good. I've been getting into the
I like the raspberry too.
I've been getting into Brew Kettle. I bought a bunch of Brown's Lager. I can't remember what the name of it is, but it's all in my fridge right now. I've got a couple 6-packs of that. I've been drinking real beer lately too.
Ralph has graduated to beer. Speaking of
wine,
Caleb, you
too.
Stay away from that stuff.
The grapefruit White Claw, you got a pre-Tums before that. You got a pre-Tums, about 3 or 4. Then you can have all the grapefruit White Claw you want.
All right.
Listen, I'll come along. I'll just get a Coke or have an apple juice or something while you guys throw some back. How about that?
There you go.
That's a good Worthington Christian answer right there. I like that.
That's perfect. And, of course, we'll be back at Saucy Brew Works sooner rather than later, enjoying all their fine offerings. And, Caleb, they have great food, so you could chow down, maybe have yourself a coffee then, the coffee part there as well. We thank them for sponsoring the Mass Report podcast. We'd enjoy it if you'd like and subscribe. And please, if you leave comments wherever you do that, be nice, because we're all very sensitive. Except for Caleb. He's tough. He's a tough kid.
Brian, can I talk about our sponsorship for a second?
Sure.
So I got a comment, and I mentioned this in our Mass Report channel, of a patron who has said that they went to visit Saucy Brew Works and a couple of our other past sponsors based on their support of Mass Report. So thank you to Saucy Brew Works. Thank you to our lovely listeners out there who support the Mass Report by supporting our sponsors. And that definitely helps them justify their decision to invest in us, and we really do appreciate that. So anytime you go visit them, make sure you do mention us and that you heard them from us, because that makes it look like, that makes them feel really smart and look really smart for investing at us. And hopefully that gets us more money and that helps us get a better product out to you guys.
Absolutely. Well said, Ralph. For Ralph, for Caleb, for Brian, Bart, Sam, did I miss anybody? There's a lot of us. I'm Brian Phillips. Thanks for listening. Listen to my radio station, CB92.9. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week on the Mass Report Podcast.